Welcome to Blast of the Past, episode 3. I'm here with my buddy Tab. Tab, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Had a couple beers, got a glass of wine. I'm doing really, really well. How are you doing?
Well, good, man. Well, you're doing better than I am because I am stone cold sober, but that is okay because we have a show to do. And today we're going to be taking a look at the movie Airplane from 1980. What's your relationship with this movie, Tab?
So I was born in 82. This has been a movie that has been on my radar pretty much my whole life. When I was a small child, I remember seeing references to it. I would see parts of it on TV. You know, I wasn't going to sit down at 6 and watch Airplane start to finish. But I was aware of this movie, and I have always known it to be a very well-liked movie. Kind of people will talk about Airplane in a similar way they talk about a Mel Brooks movie, you know, because it's a weird sense of humor.
That's a good call. For some reason I hadn't thought about Mel Brooks at all this week.
So I wasn't a huge fan as a kid, obviously, of Airplane because it kind of missed the boat, but I was a massive fan of Naked Gun. All of them. Naked Gun 1, Naked Gun 2, Naked Gun 33 and a third. All of them. I was a huge fan of Hot Shot and Hot Shot
is hilarious.
It's the same kind of comedy vein where it's just bananas. Where you do not know what to expect. Now, and to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, you probably have more of a movie kind of, you know, film connoisseur history than I do. But I would say this was the first movie that was kind of bananas. Like, in the way that the jokes were set up, where it could just go, there was basically the punchline and the setup do not always match up. Because you can get a payoff that is just off the wall, completely out of left field. And Naked Gun was I loved Naked Gun so much. And Leslie Nielsen in this movie is great.
Yeah.
You know, and so I have a very special place in my heart for Naked Gun. I have a very special place in my heart for Hot Shots. To a certain extent, not opinion-wise, because I absolutely love the production team I'm about to mention next, but they have a little bit of Airplane in them, and that's the Wayans brothers.
100%.
Love, like I'm going to get you sucker. You know, what year did I'm going to get you sucker come out? Because that was after Airplane, right? I would say that was probably like 84, 86, something like that. What year was I'm going to get you sucker? Because,
dude,
that's
I've
very
never
much
seen
in the vein
one.
Of...
The first one I saw from them was Don't Drink Your Juice in the Hood.
Yeah. Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood.
Okay, yeah, I saw that around high school or so.
Okay.
Yeah, I never saw that first one. And, you know, a lot of those movies you mentioned, Jim Abrahams and Jerry Zucker and David Zucker kind of split off and did, that's what they did. The directors of Airplane went on to do Hot Shots and Naked Gun. So definitely a lot of crossover there. But yeah, I think that this is not the first parody film in film history. That goes all the way back to the early 1900s. Like The Great Train Robbery was one of the first, you know, story cinema experiences. It was only like 11 minutes, but it shows like these robbers robbing a train. And then a couple years later, it was like The Little Train Robbery came out, and it's just kind of a comedy take almost. I haven't seen it, but it seems like from reading about it, it's kind of like almost like a remake that spoofs on it. And interestingly, Airplane is a complete remake, almost a shot-for-shot remake of Zero Hour from 1957, which is a serious film, a dramatic film about a guy who is a World War II pilot who kind of has like PTSD, loses his family, runs them down on a plane, and then a food poisoning virus takes over everybody on the plane. He has to wind up landing it. Like, it's literally the exact same story.
So
they bought the rights to the movie, even though they knew they're telling their own jokes and they turned it into a comedy movie. They still bought the rights to Zero Hour to remake Zero Hour for Airplane.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't know you had, like, I just assume under parody law, you could just rip it off, you know, scene by scene and not have to pay, but what do I know? I mean, I guess it's a good thing that they pay. You know, you don't want to.
Is there a thing called the parity law? I didn't realize that. Yeah, parity law.
It's a legal statute, to my understanding, as a comedian, former comedian, that it allows entities, whether in music or in film or whatever, in any medium, I assume, radio, whatever, to parody things and not be held to like any kind of copyright laws. That's my, you know, ignorant, no PhD in law understanding of parody law. But yeah, there's a thing called parody law.
Cool. Well, I mean, I'm sure it was just to cover their track since it was so close throughout the entire thing. Another movie that they borrow some plot devices from is, and a lot of the jokes and a lot of the gags are from this movie as well. It's called Airport. It's an Airport series. I think there were multiple films. But Airport 1975 has a girl that's got a heart transplant that they're trying to deliver her from one airport to the other in time to get her heart transplant, and there's some pretty funny jokes in Airplane that spoof that specifically. But yeah, man, my first time watching this movie, I'd never seen Naked Gun. I've seen Hot Shots. I've seen a lot of the parody films that, you know, were of, I would say, more my era, you know, which would have been, you know, 90s and early 2000s when I was coherent, which would have been the Wayans Brothers stuff and, you know, Scary Movie, that kind of
scary
stuff. So.
My strong hand. Like, I love Scary Movie. Dude, I will fucking die on the hill that the Wayans Brothers are. It's phenomenal. Like, I love them. Love the Wayans Brothers. Love everything they've ever done. Love them.
Now, those are all movies that I have not seen in so long that I can hardly remember anything about them. Like, I don't even remember one bit from those movies. I just remember, the preface. the preface.
When the guy with the Scary Movie, when the Chris Ellie, I think is his name, he's the butler with the, like, the tiny little deformed hand. And then there's like this big, great, like, holiday feast, maybe like Thanksgiving dinner, something along those lines. And it's like turkey and there's dressing and gravy and all the fixings and all the foods laid out on that's like pie and all the foods laid out on this huge table. And everyone's like having fun because they're all friends. And they're like sticking their finger in a dish and be like, my germs.
Oh my
gosh. And then there's this guy with like this deformed, wet little hand who sticks his hand in the pie and it's like, my germs. And everyone's like grossed out. And then when someone's like hanging off a ledge of a window about to fall to their death and they need someone to reach out and grab them, and Chris Elliott's like, take my strong hand. And they're like, what's that little hand out there? And they're like, I'd rather fall to my death than touch that hand. I'll stop there. There are some other scenes that are a bit mature, as we'll call it, when the girl's laying on her back and the guy pulls her panties down and she's got a bush the size of like buckwheat and like bats fly out of it. It's just like it's stuff like that I've always enjoyed humor wise.
I mean, that is the exact same type of humor I feel like that Airplane have. It has. Yeah, it's
for sure.
It's Airplane is extremely corny.
Corny,
but
yes.
It is extremely. It's funny. I mean, I think it is funny still to this day. It's just nonstop gags, and it's absurd, and it doesn't mind being absurd. It's offensive. And I just think these movies from the 80s are so funny because you see that PG rating, and I'm just conditioned to be like, okay, cool, I'm in for a family experience. And then this is like literally going to, you know, have jokes about, you know, religion, race,
there's cocaine use, there's cocaine use, yeah,
nudity, there's everything
there's
that you would expect.
This?
Yeah, I think in my copy there was definitely a brief set of boobs that crosses the screen.
Okay.
When everybody in the plane's freaking out, it's just like one naked woman that walks across the screen screaming.
You know, I'm sure it was in my copy. I got it on Amazon Prime rental. Might have missed it. There's a lot going on a lot of scenes, especially when the whole airplane and all the passengers are involved. There's just a lot, like where your eyes literally have to go to 12 different spaces
100%,
to get each individual joke.
This is the type of movie where, you know, if you look in the back row, there might be a gag going on over there that you didn't see the first time, I imagine, because there was so much going on.
Did you notice late in the movie when they're doing the media is interviewing the representatives will say, I don't know their exact work title, within the controls tower. And there's a bunch of microphones. Did you remember? Right. There's a bunch of and one guy has an ice cream cone.
Oh my gosh.
No, you don't remember that? And it was chocolate and it was like just dripping down the side. I was just watching this like trail of ice cream just drip down the side of this cone. And everyone's got microphones and he's just holding an ice cream cone. It's stuff like that where you might have to watch this movie like 9 times to get every joke.
Right. And it like none of it, I mean, it's all kind of dumb, but it's all just it to me, it's funny because it's just relentless. It never stops. And I can imagine seeing this in a theater in 1980 with a group of people. And I'm sure it was just like raucous laughter the entire time because it was unexpected at the time. There's also one thing in this movie that I found really, really surprising because it's something that I kind of associate with the films of like the 1930s and 40s. And there's a lot of wordplay, like dumb wordplay, where, you know, like a character hears a word and they assume it's the wrong definition of that word. Essentially, I don't know what the right term for that is, but I mean, the most famous joke is like, you know, don't call me Shirley, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But that is like a Marx Brothers thing that I've seen in Marx Brothers films. They did that all the time in the 1930s, like Duck Soup and those films. Have you ever seen any of the Marx Brothers stuff?
I'm not very well versed on pre-1940s film.
Okay,
really pre-1960s film. I don't really watch a lot of it.
I saw a lot of the directors had to have been fans of them. I mean, the Marx Brothers they have that same kind of dumb humor, like a gag a minute type stuff. They're a little more politically charged. You know, they're pre-World War II, but they take a lot of shots at like totalitarian governments and stuff. I mean, they were very popular in America back then.
Were they silent films?
No, those are... They talk.
Oh, wow.
It's three brothers. They're really good. I like them a lot. I would say they hold up as long as you're willing to understand that comedy was completely different back then.
Yeah.
Saw the bridge from Airplane to the Marx Brothers, you know, and those were only 40 years apart. It's about the same time that we're, you know, away from Airplane now.
And I will say this, all, you know, what we're doing here, which is Blast in the Past, where we go back and watch old films, you know, and then we kind of decide whether or not they hold up. The one genre of all of them that's going to struggle the most is going to be comedy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not, you know, a drama is a drama, regardless if it's 1965 or 1991. Like, a drama is a drama.
True.
Comedy does not age well often, you know. I think there's two reasons. One, I think the public's humor just kind of evolves. And then two, if you make a popular comedy, it's going to be homage, it's going to be ripped off, it's going to be copied. There's going to be a lot of things in other movies that you're going to see. I think I made this similar point in another podcast we did about like a Kurosawa film, where, you know, you can go back and watch a Kurosawa film for the first time today and you'll feel like you maybe have already seen it because so much of it has been influential to other writers and directors who have parodied or taken elements from it and put it in their movie. And you kind of just feel like you've already seen it. And comedy is, if you have a very popular comedy, that can 100%, you know, be the case, which is going to be a challenge for a lot of the, you know, if we do a lot of comedies, you know.
True. And you know more about comedy than I do, but to me, comedy is very dependent on current issues, pop culture, and political. So if you watch a movie, you know, 40 years ago, it kind of requires you to know what was going on at the time, you know, because in a lot of those jokes may just not land. And even like to people like me and you who are going to put in the time probably to, you know, or you already have that background knowledge, there's still probably stuff we're missing that, you know, we're just not a part of that cultural conversation anymore. And comedy is so great because it can highlight the stupidity of certain things. It can kind of twist the knife on some things that are a little uncomfortable. But then the other thing about comedy is I feel like it's a genre of theater or film that it just pushes the envelope. So where we're at now and what we're allowed to do now is just, you know, it's so much crazier than where we were 40 years ago. Now, that may not be actually true with the past like 10 years with like the PC police and everything. There's a lot of like squirmy moments, I think, in this film that were just like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And because, you know, product of its time is, some people don't like saying that, but it is what it is. Okay, so even though Airplane wasn't the first parody, as far as genre goes, I would say like spoofing a specific genre of film and really focusing and honing in on that, I think this was probably the first one, at least from a pop cultural perspective. And would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm again, born in 82. This was the, you know, this was the film that I remember growing up and hearing a lot about, and I don't recall hearing about any others. So to me, this is the first.
Yeah, I remember seeing
you know, for what it is. Now, if you're telling me there's some 1936, you know, Groucho Marx movie, sure. Okay, whatever. Like, but on the radar of modern era, this was the first. This was the rookie card for just like insane, like off the wall comedy.
I think you're right. I think like for the modern comedy, I think this may even outside of the spoof genre, it may just be the first modern comedy when I think of like a comedy film, because a lot of comedies before that, it was kind of like, well, we'll just, you know, the genres weren't so defined then. You just had a movie and there might be comedy elements in it or like rom-com elements in it, but it wasn't necessarily tied down to one genre.
Like Tootsie.
Oh yeah, what was that? That was in the '80s, right?
I don't know, 70s? I would say 70s.
Might have been late 70s.
By the way, I'm going to get you sucker 1988. Just throwing that out there. I'm going to look up Tootsie, because to me, Tootsie is one that I would say is a comedy, obviously, but it's really a comedy wrapped in a kind of a non-comedy. 1982. Shit. Like, I'm way off. Okay, Airplane number one. That's it. Airplane number one.
Dude, Dustin Hoffman and Tootsie, though, what a revelation. That was good stuff. All right, so we talked a little bit about what this film owes to some of the comedies before it. You know, my comedy knowledge of the history of comedy films is probably a little weak, but like I said, the Marx Brothers, I think there's a lot of that. I didn't see much from, I know a lot about the silent film era of comedy because I just got really into that, like Chaplin and Buster Keaton and, a few others, but I didn't see any of that here. It seems to really pull from that kind of wordplay era of comedy. And it's definitely been influential on comedy films to come. Do you think this is going to be remembered in 30 years from now? Is this going to be a movie that people continue to go back to? Or is this kind of a movie that's already, maybe, I mean, just hit its 40th anniversary. Is it already kind of starting to fade into the back, kind of?
It's 1980, correct?
That's right.
So we're 45 years in. This movie will 100% not hold up in 75 years. Or 30 years. So 75 years in, no one's going to be talking about Airplane. They'll all be dead. Anybody that remembers Airplane is either dead or, you know, in a home. No one's going to be talking. This is 100% a movie that as the generation dies, it dies with them. Like, it is not going to be on anyone's radar. I mean, you might have, you know, the 2055 version of like a film buff who, you know, probably looks back at Titanic like it's, you know, a Marx Brother film, you know, like.
Well, yeah, but even that, like, I feel like this misses the film buff crowd because there's not, I mean, it is so silly. It is so corny. It is so cheesy. I mean, but what's weird is that I remember when I first started getting really into film was like 2000, probably 6, 2007, 2008. And I remember looking up like lists of top 100 films and Airplane was always on it. It was always the representative comedy. And that has definitely fallen to the wayside. No one hardly ever talks about Airplane. Maybe it's because of the way some of its jokes have aged. Or
canceled. Airplane's been canceled. The flight's canceled. Oh no! Cancel. Oh, it must have been a Delta flight. Oh.
Or it. I mean, it's also possible that there's just, you know, I think every 20 years you get one of these comedies that has some staying power for a while, but it's like what we talked about. There's just comedy relies so much on pop culture, and pop culture changes quickly.
Yeah.
So Airplane, I think, I think as well, it's probably going to fade away pretty soon. You may, like you said, people will probably be riffing some of the lines, like the "Don't call me Shirley" thing. I feel like, I don't know where I've heard that, but I've heard that, you know, I've heard that a lot.
So that's a line I have written down. I don't have much written down about this movie. Generally, I'll watch one of these films and I got 3 to 4 pages of notes. I have exactly one page of notes on this movie. And one of the things I do have is, and this is kind of what I was going to use to point out as the example of my Kurosawa take, where the "Don't call me Shirley," you could have never seen this movie your entire life, and you will have heard "Don't call me Shirley" 1,000 times.
100%.
You know, obviously people probably aren't saying it much anymore, but I can imagine the 1980, 1985, that was the line. Anytime someone said Shirley, they were like, "Hey, don't call me Shirley." You know,
dude, anytime I've ever worked with a guy who's got gray hair, I feel like that at any job I've ever had, there's always a guy who says that joke, you know?
Yeah. It's of the times. Yeah. And, you know, that line, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Not a great line. Okay. I don't know why that stuck out so much, but man, I've seen that in other movies. I've seen it in TV shows. I've seen it in real life. That's when you know you've made it and you've crossed over,
right?
When you're like, not just Hollywood is doing it, like your coworker's doing it, your dad's doing it, you know, your uncle's doing it. Like, it's just like, it's out there. Like, that line got out there. And I wonder, was that the first time anyone's ever heard that line? Was this movie? Or did they take that from someone? Like, did they rip that off?
Yeah, you've got me thinking about, like, quotable lines and, like, how to get them into the culture and a part of the zeitgeist. And I think that, you know, something like that, where you hear the word Shirley so often in everyday conversation. There's just so many times to say that. But yeah, I don't know if that's ever been said before, but that is, I think everyone, even having never seen Airplane before, I associated that line with Airplane. Like,
me too.
I knew that came from Airplane.
100%. And did they repeat that line? Did they say it twice?
Yeah. Leslie Nielsen says it maybe three times.
Yeah.
It's at least.
He repeats a lot of stuff, his character. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, his whole bit is coming in the cockpit and saying the same thing like 15 times.
Yeah, we're all counting on you. And I tell you, the more it went on, the more I liked it.
Same.
I did. When they had already landed, and he's like, just so you know, we're all counting on you. I was like, we're already at the airport.
Yeah, that was the best one, because it was just like, okay, there's literally, that's just nonsense. Also, there's one character in this movie that reminded me of the I Love Lamp Steve Carell character from Anchorman. Do you know what I'm talking about? The guy that's in the kind of like the station where they're calling in the airport. And there's just this dude who's always
hated
like
that guy. Hated
messing
that
around
guy.
With
hated
some abstract object, like caressing it or just wrapping his hands around something. Like, he was a weird guy.
By far, least favorite character.
Thought it was funny. I thought it was interesting because it reminded me so much of the Steve Carell Anchorman character. Not as funny, but still, I was like, what is this dude doing? Like, what character actor did they hire just to do extremely weird stuff? It wasn't even jokes. It was just weird, like, circus-style stuff. Like, I was like, this guy
not
is
a fan.
Just...
Not a fan. I'm telling you right now, not a fan. Not a fan.
It's wild. I thought some of the things that the captain said to that boy was really funny, but also so inappropriate.
Oh, I've got that down. Don't think I don't have child molesting captain written down. That's like up my one page of notes.
Absolutely wild.
I've got maybe 9 points. That's one of them. That the captain of the plane, and you know, at this point, a major character in the movie, if you could even call anyone a major character in this movie.
Yeah, there's like eight child leads. Molester.
Like, 100%. This guy is 100% diddling kids.
There's no question.
And that was in 1980. That was okay, apparently, to just like, you know, and hey, you know, I'm up for any inappropriate joke. I'm not going to be the, you know, comedy police. But that, even that, it might be a subject where you don't want, because, you know,
like, oh my gosh, and
when you're developing characters, you want people to like them.
Right.
You can't really like a child molester. So I don't know.
I feel like every character is kind of unlikable in this movie. It's, I mean, but that doesn't necessarily harm it, because they're all just idiots, you know, or, you know, you don't need to like the characters in Dumb and Dumber to understand that movie is funny. Yeah, I also really liked, you know, when people started getting sick, it's like some people are throwing up, some people were spitting up eggs, some people break out into a fever. that was wild.
Yeah, one more reason not to get the fish. All right, I'm a steak fan. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I'll fall back on chicken and pork, sure. I don't mind it. Love it, you know, but
yes,
I'm not ordering the fish. Like, also, the 1980 planes, where it seemed like every movie I've ever seen of 1980s and 70s planes, meals were served regularly. Like, that was a thing. And I've taken a million flights in my life. I think maybe one had a meal. Also, a lot of cigarette smoke. I remember taking a flight in 1997 from, like, Dulles to Atlanta, my first flight. And all the armchairs had ashtrays.
Wow.
And that's just like a, now they've been replaced and they're not coming back. You know, they've updated their planes. But yeah, back then, you could still smell it. Like, you can still smell the cigarettes in the air.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it's just, you're in a sardine can of smoke. That's wild. I can't even, I mean, that would, I'm not like allergic to smoke but if someone's smoking in my face for a while, like, my lungs will act up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't like it anymore. I used to smoke, can't stand it anymore. You know, non-smokers are very strong opinion on cigarette smoke, as it should be. It's gross.
Yeah, it is. It just smells kind of stale.
Yeah.
All right, so what didn't work for you in this film?
Oh. Well, first off, before we go any further, I think it was a very fitting film for us to review and revisit. 100%. Considering there were two major plane crashes in the United States within the last, like, 2 weeks. So, dude, that worked out.
Did you try and Google airplane at all this week just to, like, look up anything by any chance?
Nope.
Every time you Google airplane, even if you put the exclamation point behind it, it's, like, the plane crash news popped up, and I had to scroll down to find it. Yeah, 100%. It was fitting time for sure.
Yeah, I mean, what didn't work? I don't think a lot of the, I did not laugh much in this movie. I don't think a lot of the jokes hit in 2025 like either, they would in 1980.
I like uncomfortable laughed when the pilot was in the cockpit with the kid, because I was like, what else are you going to do there? And yeah, no, I agree. Well, a lot of it was kind of like, that's funny, you know, but I didn't laugh out loud.
Yeah. My, I'll say the biggest laugh I had in this movie was the couple, like when they were on the runway taking off, and this couple was saying their goodbyes as if they were on a train. And
that,
like,
was hilarious.
You know, like in the movies, like you'll see somebody who will buy a ticket to a train, you know, and then they're hanging out the side because there's these huge gaping holes, and their lover's on the, you know, form, and they're like, goodbye, and they're like, I love you so much. That made me laugh, because at one point the plane was about to take off and the plane door was wide open and this guy is just hanging out, and he says my favorite line of the movie, take care of yourself, goodbye. When he says it, just tells me he ain't never seeing that girl again. Like, he's done. Like, he's on an airplane.
You know, I'm
like, take
here.
Care of yourself, goodbye. And it's just like so nonchalant, like, ah, thank God she's out of my life. Like, that actually did make me laugh.
That is funny.
The subtitles for the Jive Talkers.
Yes.
I did write one of them down. This was another thing that really stood out that I did enjoy. I know your question was what didn't work. I'm going to tell you what did work, because not a lot worked. The subtitle said, lay him down, a smack him, yak him. I'm going to try to find a way to put lay him down, a smack him, yak him in my everyday life.
Yeah,
I know it's going to be controversial, and I know I'm going to say it in public, and people are look at me like I'm insane, but I'm going to find a
well,
way to
yeah.
put it down. Yeah. Lay him down
I
and
don't
smack
think
me
it
up.
can be controversial. It's just nonsense. But
Lay him down and smack me up, you know?
yeah, who's going to question you, Tab? If you say that with confidence, I think it's going to get you places.
I'm going to say just, you know, I'm just going to sneak it in. Like, I'm going to go approve someone's work. I'm going to look at their shoulder and go, lay him down and smack him, yak him. And then just exit the room. Let
Yeah,
that simmer. Let's talk about pre-9/11 security. It was a bit
Oh yeah.
lax. It was a bit
Oh,
lax.
100% lax. Yeah, they were asking
100%
for
lax.
national tragedy.
Yeah. And how about the fact that a plane goes into the terminal? Like the plane goes
Oh,
into
that's
the
incredible.
building and they're still like, that's fine. Like we're gate 11 is still about to take off. Like we're not shutting this thing down. Like
Yes.
you gotta shut the airport down. You can't just run planes into the terminal and then still fly.
Well, this is a airport that will hand you a passport that is like smoking on fire as well. Not a passport, a ticket.
Yeah. This is
So
pre-9/11. Different world. Different world. Captain Child Molester. This guy here, who I when he first introduced, I'm like, okay, this is a responsible adult. You know, can't wait to see what he has to say. And
yeah.
he goes on to ask a child, ever seen a grown man naked? And then, do you ever hang around a gymnasium?
These questions got weirder too.
They got
Oh man.
worse.
They did.
The don't call me Shirley. Here's a fun fact. Now, look, I really only have two more points to make. Here's a fun fact. So, the main female who I don't know her name. I've seen her in a few things. She's the main female character. Her name is Elaine. The guy that's like brought in, I believe, to help out with landing the plane, the military guy, is Kramer. You see where
Oh
I'm
yeah.
going? You see where
Oh,
I'm going here
dude,
with this?
our second Seinfeld connection in 2 weeks.
Yeah. A bomb is in this movie. What is his real name?
I
He
don't know who
was
that is.
another guy. So Kramer was the, I believe, the military captain, you know, Air Force guy, whatever, brought in to
Right.
land the plane. And then the guy that he was constantly talking to was in Seinfeld. His character's name was Manta Bomb, and he was an elderly man who kept getting injured because Jerry would run circles around him, and Manta Bomb was thinking he was just the strongest man on earth, and he was in a couple episodes. And so I'm sitting here watching this movie, and I'm thinking, okay, we've just seen Manta Bomb. There's a character named Elaine and Kramer. I'm like, is this going to keep going? Like, are there going to be the whole Seinfeld
It's
cast?
the prequel to Seinfeld.
Is That's what I was thinking. Like, is this the prequel to Seinfeld? And so I go on IMDb and I'm looking for, are there any characters named George? Are there any characters named Jerry? And I go through the entire cast list, and unsurprising, most of these people are do not have photos on IMDb. It is a vast majority. It's like 90% do not have photos. They're just like
There's like a
passenger
lot of probably a
three.
lot of
One just
extras,
says
yeah.
cocaine lady. That's the lady who's like
Dude,
in her
my
seat, and they're like, you want a
aspirations to be
drink?
in
And
the
she's like,
credits
I don't
of some
drink. And then
film.
just rips a line of blow. So,
Also like the guy, the recurring bit of the guy who's like, oh man, terrible, terrible week to give up smoking.
yeah.
Terrible week to give up alcohol.
That
Terrible
I believe
week to
that's
give
Manta
up.
Bomb.
Oh,
That's the guy
okay.
who's Manta Bomb in Seinfeld. So I'll go all through IMDb. There is no George, there's no Jerry. Okay. However, there is a reference to a Captain George something.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a reference to President Gerald Ford, who is Jerry.
Dude, you're
This is
ready
Seinfeld
for Reddit
prequel.
conspiracy. You've got it.
This is it. This is it. We found it. This is little Seinfeld. This is it.
Long lost episodes.
Yeah. This is the pilot. Pun intended. I just thought of that. This is the pilot
Oh my
episode.
gosh, dude, another connecting brick. Fantastic.
It's all coming together. The last thing I got written down. Actually, there's two more things. One, I love the very, very, very end when the autopilot flies the plane with no wheels. It's at a complete stop, And he's just with no wheels, just flies off. He's got a little female blow up autopilot.
The autopilot,
and he, like,
was
winks.
Funny.
Like, autopilot was great. Now the last thing I have is the lead actor and actresses in this movie, Lane, and then the guy whose name I don't know what his character was.
Ted Stryker, I think.
Had great name for a guy trying to land a plane. Ted Stryker. What would you guess is the total screen time? For, like, does it eclipse 10 minutes? Is either one of those people on screen for more than 10 minutes?
No, I would say it's probably like maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have the actual stats?
I don't. I wish I did. I'm not rewatching this to, like, keep time.
Yeah,
I'm not
same.
Doing that.
Same. I'm sure someone on the internet has, but it's low. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you could argue that they're the main characters. You could argue that Leslie Nielsen's character is the main character. I mean, really, it's just a story with a bunch of characters involved.
That was part of the uniqueness for me in hindsight, which was I'm not sure there is a main character, and I don't think I've ever seen a movie that may not have a main character. I mean, obviously, I think Ted Stryker,
he would be the main
character.
He's
the one, you know. Elaine, maybe not. I don't know. Number two, number three, number four,
he's
number
the one
five,
that propels the action forward and solves the conflict.
And Ted Stryker is the main character, so this is not a movie without one. But the main character in the movie is on screen for about 7 minutes.
Right.
they have other things going on. You know, they don't spend a lot of time in the cockpit. Let's just say that.
I was thinking the whole movie, I was like, where do I know this guy from? I know this guy, and I was racking my brain. And you know what, where his, like, only credit that I could have ever seen of any movie of his is Homeward Bound. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. I watched that movie a million times as a kid.
Homeward Bound. I've heard the name, but what's it? So this is about a dog?
It's about, like, two dogs and a cat. This family, it's like a Disney movie that came out in, like, 1994. This family goes on vacation to Colorado or something, and they leave their dog and cat behind literally just their, like, grandma's ranch. And the dog and cat don't understand that they're not leaving forever, so they just try and run home. It's like their adventure is trying to get home, like, across the country. I can't tell you if it's good or not, but 20 years ago it hit pretty hard, probably more than.
Yep. But that's literally all I had on the notes. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was, this movie for me, I don't know what I was expecting going in. I kind of didn't expect it to hit super hard because I knew that it was going to be a comedy from 40 years ago. What would you give it out of 5 stars, Tab?
I give it 1.5.
Oh my gosh, that is so low.
I give it 1.5 stars. And here's why.
You're a tough critic.
Here's why. I didn't necessarily enjoy it in 2025, and I don't think it's going to age. Like, it's not going to be better tomorrow than it is today. Like, it's just does not hold up. If I could have not watched it, I would have preferred to have not watched it. I mean, it's just like, I enjoy watching anything we do just for the fun of taking notes and having conversations about it. But yeah, this was a mess. You know, now I'll give it a high five for being the first. Sure. You know, I respect that, but no, I'm not.
It's influence for me. So though I do take, like, influentialness or influence would be a better way to say that, into account when I'm, like, trying to give a rating to a film. But yeah, I would really hope to never watch this movie again. I didn't find it particularly horrible to watch. Like, it's really short, which is kind of nice.
Very short.
It's an hour and 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And it didn't even feel that long. I think because it moves so fast from joke to joke, there's literally not a lot of downtime to, like, catch your breath or just get bored, because there's always something going on. I'm going to give it 3 stars, 3 out of 5. I think its influence will hold it up as some kind of relevant film, but I don't think it's necessarily, I wouldn't say it's like a positive influence necessarily. I think that some cool movies came out of this particular genre, but at the end of the day, it's really just a genre that's about being silly and kind of like messing on silly, cheesy films in the first place, which is fine. It's fun. It's like, get a nice, it's like a good popcorn flick. nothing wrong with it, but I wouldn't say that these movies are going to change the world in any way.
Yeah, and I will say this. In 1980, this would have been 5 stars.
Yeah, I think this would have been five stars. Dude, if I was in like high school and saw this for the first time in 1980, like it might be my favorite movie. You know, it might be my favorite comedy. Honestly, dude, there's comedy's kind of weak in 2025. And what's a good comedy film these days?
These days?
In the past like 3 years, is there a good comedy movie that's come out?
Palm Springs it's on, I believe, Hulu. It's a top 10 movie of all time for me. And okay. It's like a Andy Samberg take on Groundhog Day, where a guy keeps reliving the same day, and it is done to perfection.
I love Groundhog Day. That's a movie that gets better every time you watch it.
You know, I actually went down the YouTube rabbit hole recently on Groundhog Day, and here's a couple of fun facts. How long do you think he was in there?
Bill Murray?
Yeah. How long do you think he relived the same day? There's a lot of theory.
I don't know. I'm not well rehearsed, and I probably haven't seen it in a decade. What? Let's say 10 years.
It's somewhere I think, from what I understand, don't quote me on this, but I believe the original idea was 10,000 years.
Oh my gosh.
And they never obviously say how long, but there's a deleted scene where he's playing pool, and he's like hustling people, and he's really good at pool. And they think to be really good at something takes 10 years. So a lot of people kind of settled on 10 years, but there's theories out there that's 10,000 years. And then the original, I saw this from some guy who, I don't know who it was, but he seemed like he was either the writer of the movie or, probably the writer of the movie. And he said that there was an ending where, you know, he relives February 2nd over and over and over. And then when he falls in love, he wakes up and it's February 3rd. And Andy McDowell is in bed with him, correct? Isn't that what happens?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so the original ending was that happens, and we find out that Andy McDowell has been reliving February 3rd for 10,000 years.
What?
Yeah, and then they thought about that. That was the original ending, and they're like, you know what, let's not end like that. But I think that would be a phenomenal ending.
Well, you know, that would have set up the sequel, you know?
Yeah, gotta have a sequel.
Yeah. I bet they were kicking themselves afterwards, because I'm pretty sure Groundhog Day did pretty well.
Yeah. That would be fun for us to go back and watch.
I'm 100% down. Yeah. I'm 100% down. I love it. I love these 80s films. I've really enjoyed watching like 80s and 90s kind of blockbuster hits, because to be honest, I guess in my, like, the way I watch old movies is not necessarily looking for blockbusters. I usually go off like classic lists and watch like the best movies ever made. So some of these things just get swept under the rug kind of. So this has been really fun for me. And I really enjoy them for the most part. And that, unfortunately, is all the time we have here today. You can write into us at blasttothepastcast@gmail. Tell us what you think about Airplane. Tell us why it is the funniest movie of all time. You can also let us know what you think we should review or talk about in future episodes as well. We will see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good night. A lot longer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
45 minutes.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I think it went well.
Yeah.
Snappy.